You afraid of failure? What if I told you that your setbacks could be the secret to your biggest breakthroughs? Stay tuned as we explore how to transform your failures into fuel for future success. This is Dr. James Bryant, and you're listening to the Engineer Your Success podcast. As an engineering leader, you know firsthand that achieving work-life balance can be hard. Many business owners struggle with the balance between their personal lives and their work. This leads to stress and a feeling of regret. But that's not the case for the listeners of the Engineer Your Success podcast with Dr. James Bryant. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. Tune in. Let's engineer your success today. Welcome to the Engineer Your Success podcast. I'm your host, Dr. James Bryant, and we're continuing our Finish Strong mini-series. In our first episode, we introduced the three critical steps to finishing strong: review, prioritize, and systematize. Last week, we explored the power of celebrating wins and conducting success autopsies. Today, we're looking at the other side of that coin, learning from our setbacks and failures. This balanced approach is crucial for a comprehensive year in review that will help you finish strong and start the next year with maximum momentum. But before we dive in, I do want to address something really important. I've received a few messages from listeners asking for more detailed guidance on conducting year-end reviews. Some of you are new to this process, and others want to make sure that you're getting the most out of it. Here's what I've done. I've created a comprehensive resource package that includes a curated list of our past year-end review and mid-year review episodes, other Finish Strong resources, including a step-by-step guide. To get access, go to engineeryoursuccessnow.com/finishstrong, or you can use the link in the show notes. You're going to get everything that you need to conduct a thorough year-end review while following along with our current series. Now, we're going to get into the details of how to leverage failure for your success, but I do want to take a moment to express my gratitude for your ratings and reviews. And today I want to highlight a particularly meaningful review from Pete Stegg. And here it is. Engineering and purpose. Together, Dr. Bryant does what few others are capable or willing to do. Deliver a podcast on intangible topics targeted on technically trained business people. He pulls it off. This show is valuable for engineering leaders and business owners trying to broaden their perspective and grow in mind and spirit. This show is well curated. Dr. Bryant has an authoritative but kind approach. Check it out. You won't regret it. Hey, Pete, thank you for your kind words. And here's my request for those of you that are listening. If you find this podcast useful, leave an honest rating and review. Who knows? We might be reading your review in the coming weeks. So now let's focus our time today on learning how to leverage failure for your success. Last week, we talked about success autopsies and celebrating our wins. Today's failure resume episode is a natural complement to that work. Just as we methodically analyze the successes, we'll apply the same rigorous approach to understanding setbacks. This balanced perspective is crucial for true growth. But I have a question for you. When is failure not failure? For me, it's not failure if you learn from your past experiences and use that knowledge to adjust and change in the future. It's very difficult to correct something that we don't acknowledge happened. And I personally don't like failing or admitting it. And I'm guessing that you don't like it either. So let's dive head first into failure and talk about this powerful tool called the failure resume. You can use this to learn from your setbacks and your failures. This might become one of your most valuable skills that you develop this year. So let me share a story that completely changed how I view failure, one that taught me some hard but valuable lessons about leadership and communication. So this was early in my engineering career, probably my second or third year. I was working for an operations and maintenance contractor in Washington, D.C. We managed the railways and bridges on the national highway system. We had a five-year contract that was coming up for renewal in about 18 months. So you can just imagine just some of the unease in the office, not knowing about the future, because the timing really couldn't have been worse. We had just come through an incredibly challenging snow season with a major snowstorm hitting the DC area. Our team was responsible for managing the snow removal, and the stress levels in the office were through the roof. Everyone was on edge, and primarily we were wondering about our future. So here we were, a bunch of engineers in the project office, doing what engineers often do. We tried to solve the problem. We started reaching out to different organizations, talking to companies, trying to make strategic moves. Looking back, I think we really were overstepping our role. We were panicking because we didn't feel that the corporate office was communicating clearly about our future. Then came the meeting that changed everything. The president of the company came to DC for what turned out to be a pretty intense discussion about future opportunities. I had my ideals, our office manager had his ideals. We were convinced that we knew the right direction for the company. I can still picture this moment really clearly. The president, his face getting redder by the minute, puts his hands on his head and he says, "I'm the captain of the ship and I say that we're going in this direction. What are you going to do?" Now, here's where the young engineer James made a crucial mistake. I looked him right in the eye and said, "I think I have a moral obligation to tell the captain that the ship is moving in the wrong direction." He repeated his question more forcefully this time. And I doubled down. "I have a professional obligation to tell you the direction that I think the ship should go." His face got even redder. One final time, he asked me, "What was I going to do?" And I delivered what I thought was a principal stand. "I guess I'm just going to have to get off the boat." Not surprisingly, I was working for a different company not too long after that. But here's where, to me, the story gets interesting. You know, and where the real lessons come in. So for years afterwards, I told myself a story about how the corporate office was clueless, how they didn't get it. In my mind, they were the problem. I was just the smart engineer who knew better. And it wasn't until several years later that I really had a breakthrough moment. I realized something that was pretty profound. You know, while I was busy judging them as idiots who couldn't understand my brilliant insights, I was completely blind to my own failure, to communicate effectively. You see, effective communication isn't about being right. It's about understanding your audience's perspective. If you think someone is an idiot, and I definitely did, it showed in my tone, my body language, and everything I was communicating. I was so focused on being right that I forgot about being effective. So the real failure wasn't the corporate office's inability to understand me. The failure was my inability to package the information in a way that they could understand it and act on it. The indecision might have been the same, but the path to getting there could have been completely different. And so this experience taught me the importance of analyzing failures objectively and learning from them. And that's exactly what the failure resume helps us to do. So let's dive into this tool and how we can use it to transform our own setbacks into growth opportunities. So unlike a traditional resume that highlights achievements, this tool really helps you transform challenges into growth opportunities because you're listing your failures or setbacks. So why create a failure resume? Listen, the first reason is pattern recognition. When you create a failure resume, you start to identify recurring challenges before they become habits. You begin to understand which solutions work for you and which ones don't. Most importantly, you'll recognize triggers that often lead to setback. This awareness alone can prevent many future failures. The second reason is just accelerating your learning. Instead of experiencing setbacks, you're converting them into actionable lessons. You're building what I call a personal playbook of solutions. This helps you avoid repeating past mistakes. Think of it as you're creating your own troubleshooting guide for both professional and personal challenges. The third reason is just having a growth mindset and developing that growth mindset. Creating a failure resume helps normalize failure as a part of the learning process. It builds resilience through self-awareness. You'll develop a more solution-focused perspective. Most importantly, it strengthens your problem-solving skills. So we've talked about why you would do it. So now the next question is, when would you use it? So when I think about this, I think you'll want to use this tool when you notice recurring issues, if that's at work or life, you know, you want to pull it out after a setback that deeply affects you, or when you're considering giving up on a goal. It's also valuable when your team faces repeated challenges or when you want to prevent a recurring problem from happening. Remember our discussion about celebrating wins and conducting success autopsies. We're going to use that same methodical engineering approach, breaking down complex situations into understandable components to analyze our setbacks. Just as we identify patterns in our successes, we're also going to look to identify those patterns in our challenges. So let's break down exactly how to create this document. For each setback, you're going to want to capture 6 key components. First, you want to document what happened. Provide a brief, factual description. Stay objective. Think like an engineer documenting a technical issue. Include relevant context, but avoid emotional language. Second, I would say use the 5 whys analysis. So this is where you dig deeper. You'll ask why 5 times to get to the root cause. So let me demonstrate this common scenario. Why did I miss a deadline? Because I was overwhelmed. Why was I overwhelmed? Because I had too many projects. Why too many projects? Because I said yes to everything. Why did I say yes to everything? Because I was afraid of disappointing people. Why was I afraid? Because I hadn't set clear boundaries. So you can see how each why gets us closer to the real issue. Third, you want to capture key learning. So, you know, list 2 or 3 specific insights and focus on actionable takeaways and include both technical and interpersonal lessons. The 4th thing is to develop future action plans. So specify exactly what you'll do differently. Create some kind of measurable change and include timelines and checkpoints. The 5th component is establish success metrics. Define how you'll know your new approach is working. Set some specific measurable indicators and include both short and long-term metrics. Finally, identify when support is needed. So what resources or skills or help will you require? Be specific about what you need to succeed. This might include potential mentors, accountability partners, a coach. But these 6 components work together to transform a setback into a learning opportunity. They help you move from simply experiencing failure to actually learning and growing from it. So just like we use concrete examples to illustrate the success autopsies, and we went through one a little bit earlier, let's go through a few real-world examples of using the failure resume. So let's look at a professional example, a technical presentation setback. So here's what happened. I delivered a technical presentation that lost the audience's engagement. I received feedback that the content was too complex and that the Q&A session revealed major gaps in understanding. So going through the 5 whys, I would say I discovered the root cause why they were confused. The material was too technical. Why was it too technical? I used engineering jargon without explanation. Why did I use jargon? Because I prepared the information based on the perspective of an engineer. Why did I do that? Because I didn't consider my audience's backgrounds and needs. What did I learn from this? 1, technical expertise alone doesn't ensure effective communication. 2, understanding your audience is important. And it's as important as understanding your subject. And 3, stories and examples are more powerful than pure data. So moving forward, you can develop a clear plan of action, research the audience background before preparing content, include real-world examples and analogies, and practice with non-technical listeners, and build in engagement points every 10 minutes or so. So to measure success, you could look for more engaged audiences with visible participation, positive feedback during Q&A, and improved presentation scores if you're doing any metrics to measure your score. For support for something like this, you might need presentation skill training, feedback from diverse audience members, and just collection of some stories and relevant resources. So here's a personal one on time management. So here's what happened. I was consistently missing family dinner times due to work. My children stopped sharing their daily experiences with me. My spouse expressed frustration about my lack of presence at home. So going through the 5 whys, here's where we would apply the 5 whys. Why was I missing dinner? I kept working late. Why? I didn't set clear boundaries between work and home. Why? I felt the pressure to constantly be available. Why? I feared appearing less committed than my colleagues. Why? I hadn't defined what success looked like in both areas. So some lessons learned would be that work will expand to fill whatever time you give it. And quality time can't be postponed indefinitely because it has an impact on your relationships. So in this case, an action plan could be setting a firm quote-unquote home time and communicating that with your team and blocking family dinner time off on your work calendar and creating some type of transition ritual, as well as pulling in your wife and your kids to let them know what is going on, like to let them know that this change is happening. Many times we'll make these types of changes, but we're not engaging them. And we really need to engage them if we want the support to help us continue to reach that new shift in spending that time. So these examples of how the failure resume can work in both professional and personal contexts really show that it's a systematic approach that can use to transform setbacks into growth opportunities. So whether you're dealing with technical challenges or work-life balance, work-life integration issues, or just having an issue with winning at work and at home. Let me help you make these examples work for you. Notice how both examples follow the same structure, but address things very differently. The key is to be specific about what happened, honest about the root causes, clear about the lessons, concrete about your future actions, and measurable in defining success. When you're creating your own failure resume, I do encourage you to include both the professional and personal situations. Remember, success isn't just about winning at work. It's also about winning at home too. So often you'll find that the lessons from one area can help you improve in the other. That same systematic thinking that helps you solve engineering problems can help you build stronger relationships at home. So now that we've covered the success autopsies and the failure resume, I think you have a really good basis for doing the review. So here's your homework, and it builds on the stuff that we've covered in the previous episodes. First, complete your success inventory. Keep it in your Finish Strong journal. So if you haven't done that, go ahead and do that. Two, document one significant setback using the failure resume template. Three, schedule 30 minutes for review and reflection. Put it on your calendar now. Four, identify patterns between your successes and setbacks. And finally, begin drafting your action plan for addressing these insights. Remember, this isn't about beating yourself up over past mistakes. It's about creating a systematic approach to learning and growth, just like we would any other engineering project. The goal is continuous improvement, both at work and at home. So next week, we're going to move into the second of the critical step in the Finish Strong framework, and that is prioritize. We'll explore how to use both the success autopsy and failure resume insights into making strategic decisions on where to focus your energy as we approach the year-end review. You don't want to miss it, because it's going to tie everything together to help you finish the year strong. Don't forget to grab your free Finish Strong resources. You can use the link in the show notes, or you can go to engineeryoursuccessnow.com/finish-strong. I'm going to end this podcast episode like I end every podcast episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select group of people that follow through, do it, and are living the life of their dreams. It is my desire for you to be part of that select few. This is Dr. James Bryant, your guide to winning at work and at home, and I want you to be great this week. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Engineer Your Success with Dr. James Bryant. Do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, and a small fraction of people actually do it. I believe that you can have success both in business and in life, and it's my passion to guide you on your path to engineering your success. Thanks.